This is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Well, given her stature in the Christian community, there is a surprising lack of special consideration in the New Testament, which is the ultimate of love stories. A surprising lack of the expression of love specifically between Jesus of Nazareth and the Blessed Virgin Mother. He is, in one sense, indifferent or even openly disdainful when Mary and Joseph find him after they've lost him for 3 days in the temple, frantic. He basically looks at them and goes, "Duh, what'd you expect I'd be doing?" When Mary seeks him out at the wedding at Cana, saying, "The wine's given out," he goes, "Woman, what have you to do with me?" And then when someone informs him that, "Hey, your family just showed up," he said, "Well, who are they?" "Everyone who does the will of my Father, those are my mother, brother, and sisters." I guess in one sense, he's telling us that this mystery of love, even family love, is broader than we can imagine. And I want to develop the idea that we are all both recipients of and carriers of what I think Jesus is referring to and what I might call mother love. Whether or not we are a mother, we are certainly the children of mothers and have been carriers of that, but also beyond. Jesus is saying, whoever does the will of my Father is a recipient of and a carrier of what I'm calling today mother love. And these are some of the constitutive features of what I think that is. First of all, I think mother love, in general terms, is infused with consideration. Now, I often talk to my students about sort of predictable benchmarks in the life sequences of people and families. And one of those occurs at the birth of a child. Every mother, every family member at the birth of a child, for the next probably 18 years, maybe longer, sporadically for the rest of their lives, every decision that's made is filtered through a consideration of the needs of the child. That's what mother love is in a very specific sense. Every decision is filtered through a consideration of what the child needs at that moment. Now, by extension, doing the will of his Father, Jesus might say, be considerate. Consider the people around you as, or maybe more especially before, you act. Consideration is an example of mother love. I learned from my grandmother how to play golf. And I also learned from her that you can tell a lot about a person's character by watching them on a golf course. And I think that's true by extension on a tennis court or a softball field or other such things. And as much as I learned how to, you know, chip a 9-iron or line up a putt, I also learned there are etiquette principles in the playing of the game of golf, where you put your clubs, waiting for the people ahead of you, but maybe most importantly, looking behind you and being considerate of not holding them up. Okay, you knock a ball into the woods and you can go look for it, but the other people, you wait for them to pass. In other words, before you do anything on a golf course, and I think metaphorically in life, it's useful to look ahead and look behind with at least the thought of consideration. The cardinal sin in golf and maybe in life is to be in people's way. So look ahead, look behind, consideration. Mother love. Also, I think, and we talk about this a lot, but I've got it nuanced a little bit in the context of mother love. Let's talk about forgiveness for a minute. Forgiveness in a continuous way rather than a moment in time, as in I forgive you and I forget and let's move on, because I don't think that's practical or in some ways even emotionally realistic. But I think an attitude of forgiveness and emotional generosity in increments illustrates mother love. Now, there are people in our lives, people maybe in the next office or down the hall or down the block, that we know drive us nuts, and they're probably not going to stop driving us nuts anytime soon. And if they do, it won't be because we've made them stop driving us nuts. But what we can do for our sake as much as theirs is to stop allowing them free rent in our heads. In other words, stop, at the very least, planning revenge strategies. Boy, the next time they do that, I'm sure going to... And that just... Well, it robs you of joy and peace. So there's that. And I think that has to come in increments. And you can move from frustration and righteous indignation at least to indifference with the people that drive you nuts. But there's also the people we love the most and the people who love us best. And you would think that because forgiveness is such a constitutive part of Jesus' life and ministry in the New Testament, that it would be one of the Ten Commandments, and it's not. There's nothing in the Ten Commandments that says, thou shalt forgive. But there's a nuanced element of forgiveness in the Eighth Commandment, which doesn't get a lot of press. But it's the third of three of the Ten Commandments that are actually violations of civil law, homicide and stealing, and this one. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Perjury, technically. But Martin Luther, who wrote the Small Catechism, which is an explanation of the Ten Commandments designed for children, which is useful, I think, for us with the mind of children, says this. What does this mean, you shall not bear false witness? We should so fear and love God so that we should not tell lies about our neighbor, nor betray, slander, or defame him. I mean, that's perjury. But there's another piece to this, and this is where the mother love comes in. But we should apologize for him, speak well of him, and interpret his actions in the kindest way. That last phrase, interpret his actions in the kindest way. In other words, as we interact with people that we know casually or work with, but most importantly, maybe, the people we love and who love us the most, because they're the ones who can hurt us the easiest and perhaps even the most deeply, to begin a process of finding bits of emotional generosity, to interpret their actions in the kindest way. Another way to think about this is in every relationship we have, especially the most deep relationships we have what's been called by some a love bank. That is, we build up an investment portfolio of memories and loving experiences, from which we sometimes need to draw when somebody does unto us. To interpret his actions in the kindest way means to take incremental steps of emotional generosity toward the benefit of the doubt. And that's, I think, where mother love comes in. That's what moms do. That's what's been done for us, and it's what can come through us. And most importantly, check back in if you've been checking out. The most important person to whom I think we should give the emotional benefit of the doubt and move toward a generosity of interpretation is the one who looks back at you in the mirror. There's nothing like mom guilt. And it is to ourselves, I think, that God invites us through this commandment, but also through what he's done for us and given us a community of love, to interpret our own actions in the kindest way, to begin to move ourselves incrementally toward a generosity of spirit as we look at ourselves. Mother love. A generosity of spirit and forgiveness, a level of consideration looking ahead and behind. And finally, one thing more. I think this speaks to all of us in all circumstances, but at least most illustratively, when we haven't seen the kids for a while, whether they live in town or not, but we haven't seen them for a while. And, you know, there may have been some positive and negative things that have gone on since the last time we've seen them,
But the moment you see him pull up in the driveway, there's this catch of a breath. Oh, we're back together again. Let's have some fun.
The moment carries with it some energy. The moment of the promise of just reacquainting. And that's what I think Jesus was asking us to do when he asked us to consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and to let the day's trouble be sufficient for the day. In other words, live in the moment and enjoy the moment for what it is. All that has been, all that will come again, will be what it's been and will play itself out in due course. But there's an element of mom love, of mother love, that seizes the moment to enjoy, to grab onto some, well, to grab onto a joke or a laugh or a smile or a hug, and to use it, if nothing else, to build the investment portfolio in the love bank. Consideration, forgiveness, a generosity of spirit, a continuum of generosity of emotional spirit, and enjoyment. It's what Jesus asks us to do now that he's been here and gone, and we live with the promise to come again. I said at the outset that Jesus never gives his mother any special consideration. That's not quite true. At the very end of his life, when she's at the foot of the cross, and maybe with some rueful regret, Jesus says to her, I couldn't have been the son you needed. I've had the world to save. I've had to do this to forgive everybody of everything. And I've kind of left you in the lurch. And so he gives his mother another son, John the beloved disciple. He gives John his own mother and says, in effect, you two share mother love. It comes to you from the cross. It goes through you with each other. And it carries forward everyone for all time with consideration, generosity and forgiveness, and enjoyment. Happy Mother Love Day. Amen.